and our extended family, amen, and those who are thinking of becoming a part of our family, somebody say amen. We say good morning to all of you as well, amen. It's just good to be here. Somebody say amen. It's just good to be here. We bless God for his presence in this place today, amen. Well, for the last 5 weeks, we've been working on a series entitled Truth. Somebody say Truth. Truth revealed by the Holy Ghost, amen. We understand that in this hour, in this season, that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal truth directly to the believer. Somebody say amen. Truth directly to the believer, amen. And in order for us to be in a place where we can receive truth directly from him, we must build a relationship. Somebody say relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to know how he sounds when he speaks to us. Amen. We need to know how he leads us, how he guides us, how he reveals truth to us. So if we're going to hear him, glory to God, in this season or at any time, we have to build a relationship with him. Somebody say amen. I listen to my pastor on a regular basis, and Pastor George of Matthews II, and he says that if the believer will get what God desires for him to have in this season, he must be able to follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. If the Holy Ghost tell you to go somewhere to get something that he has for you, you need to know first, that is him speaking to you. Number two, and number two, you need to be able to follow the instructions. Amen. So we've been teaching from the subject truth revealed by the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Now, last week, God dealt with us basically from the area of the prophetic. Amen. And we will also be in that vein today. Amen. Last week we said, which was the sixth thing that God said to us, somebody has me, have me on, and I need you to turn me off so I won't get distracted by me. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. I might try to listen to me, then I won't be doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen, amen. Number six, we said it looks like, God says, it looks like, and I unpacked all of these last week, and I won't unpack them again today because I need to move on to today's lesson. Amen. God says, and y'all need to start my time so I won't preach too long. God says, number six last week, that it looks like there will be a dissension among leadership in the global church. God said, it looks like there's going to be some division in leadership or between leaders in the global church. And he said that it would be both doctrinal and political, if you will. So there will be, God said, and here again, if it don't come to true, just know I'm come to fruition. Just know I missed it, amen. But I always tell you, I didn't go anywhere looking for this. God brought it to me, amen. So I share what he could give me to share. So he said, it looks like it's going to be division among the leadership in the global church, both from the place of doctrine and from the place of politics or from a political perspective, if you will. And number seven, God says, somebody say God says, God says that there are some in the Republican Party that still desires to be in control. So since they are not, they will do all that they can to hamper the success of our current president and vice president. Amen. God wants us to know these things because he wants the church to be involved in politics. Somebody say politics. As a matter of fact, the church should be involved, and I'll get into that, I believe, in today's message or in today's points. I believe I'll get into this a little bit more as it relates to the seven mountains of influence. One of the seven mountains of influence would be government. Somebody say government. And God wants to be in control of every mountain. Somebody say amen. He's not at this point. But he wants to be in control of every mountain. Say every mountain. So government is one of the mountains. Government is one of the places where culture is shaped in the earth. Government is one of the places where we pick up our beliefs and we pick up the way that we will behave. Amen. If you don't believe me, just look at the last administration. Amen. The last administration picked up so many beliefs of the former president until they believed that they could storm the Capitol and overturn the election. Amen. They believed what they heard from the platform of the presidency, if you will. Amen. So government, say government. Government can form the beliefs and even the behaviors of individuals in the earth realm, or the culture, if you will. Glory to God. And that's why God wants to be at the head of the mountain of government as well. Somebody say amen. Number 8, God said that the current president and the vice president, current vice president, will make a difference in the world for good. And he put emphasis on for good, amen. They will not just impact the U.S., but the world as well. Somebody say amen. Number 9, God said that our current president and vice president are problem solvers and not problem makers, amen. There are a lot of problems to be solved in the United States and even all over the world, amen. God says that he has them in the palm of his hand. He'll turn them where he wills, amen. And I need to say this again. I said it last week. It's not because they are Democrats. It's because they've been chosen by God in this hour to do what God needs done. They've been chosen by God in this hour to bring some resolve to some of the situations that we have in the earth realm. And some of the situations, I hear the Lord say, we have brewing. Say brewing. Brewing in earth realm. We don't even know what they are yet. But they will come. And God has set some people in place to, I hear that too, Lord, to solve problems. Will they make mistakes? Of course they will. Somebody say amen. They live in a human frame. They live in a physical body, man. So people that that live in a physical body or people who live in physical bodies are prone to make mistakes. Somebody say amen. I heard one time, and I think I read somewhere in some leadership literature, that the only people that don't make mistakes are the people who are not doing anything. Somebody say amen. So God said, somebody say God said that our current president and vice president are problem solvers, not problem makers. Somebody say amen. Number 10, God says that the country has been in travail. Say travail. That means the country has been suffering for quite some time, and not just because of the pandemic, even prior to pandemic. Somebody say amen. And he says that now it's time for her to be delivered or to be brought out of the place of suffering. And I made the analogy when a woman is almost at a place of deliverance. If she's carrying a child, she suffers. Somebody say she suffers. As a matter of fact, part of the curse after the fall of Adam and Eve was that the lady will, the female would have more pain in childbearing. Amen. Which meant that she was already having some, but the pain would increase. Somebody say increase. So it's a norm, if you will, for the female to go through some travail. But after the travail is over, after the child is delivered, there is celebration. Somebody say celebration. Because that female just had either a wonderful baby girl or a baby boy. Amen. God says the earth or the world or in our country, there's been a lot of suffering, but we are now in a place where we will be delivered. Somebody say amen. And number 11, and I'll pick up on 12 just a minute, in a few minutes. Number 11, God said that this country, somebody say this country, God bless America, glory to God. God said that this country is about to give birth to the success of many and not just a select few. Amen. We're going to see progress and prosperity in more than just a select few. We often focus our attention on the top 1% who are wealthy. Somebody say amen. But God says that it's we're moving in a season where we will see success among many and not just a few. Somebody say amen. And I say God bless America because I want to see America prosper. Somebody say prosper. I don't want to see just a few. I want to see what God says, many. Somebody say many. Not just the middle class and the upper tier, but many. Even those who are less fortunate. We want to see them move. Somebody say move to a place of prosperity as well. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. And I think the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to the poor, they should advance. Somebody say advance. Somebody say advance. Amen. Today we'll pick up on number 12. God says, somebody say God says, number 12. This is the 12th thing God has for me to share with you all through these particular lessons. God says that there is a set time, still set time, or an appointed time for every season under the sun that is in the earth realm. Amen. God says that there is a set time for every season that is a set time or appointed time under the sun that is in the earth realm. I think Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at that real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1. Solomon writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to everything, somebody say, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And after he shared that with me, he says to me, or he says to us, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, glory to God, on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody say amen. So I suppose that he's saying to us, the time and season has come where things happen in the earth realm the way that he desired them to operate in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. I say that we're getting into that season based upon what he said, that we're going to see his will done more in the earth realm. Amen. We've seen the will of mankind done in the earth realm a lot. Amen. And you've been praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody say amen. So I suppose he's answering your prayer, amen, because after he said to me there's a time and a season for every purpose under the sun, he said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Somebody say amen. I mentioned it just a little bit a few minutes ago. One of God's desires, say desires, we use the term will. Will is defined as wish, desire, etc. One of God's desires in the earth realm is that he reign on every mountain or on all seven mountains. My goodness, I heard something before I got there. In the earth realm. Somebody say in the earth realm. Let me express the seven mountains to you. Amen. There are basically seven high places. Say seven high places. In the earth realm that influences, again, the beliefs and the behaviors of the people in the earth realm. Somebody say seven places. Let me express them to you. Number one is religion. Somebody say religion. And in the seven mountains, Christianity is included in religion. Somebody say religion. Now, we teach that we don't believe that Christianity is a religion, but a lifestyle. But as it relates to the seven mountains in the earth realm, Christianity is bundled up with all the other religions. Amen. And what I heard just a few minutes ago, and I shook my head because I heard it clearly, God says he wants to be in control even in his church. That's an indictment, isn't it? Like has died, but it's back to life. God is saying that he wants to be in control in his own church, which means that he's not in control in every church in the sphere of Christianity. That's a sad indictment against the church. We got to hear this. If we hear God say that he wants to be in control of his church, we must hear that in the church, some of us are doing our own things. Okay. And I'm not just speaking to the assembly, if you will. I'm speaking to leadership. Somebody say leadership. The pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists and teachers who are in leadership in the church. All of us are not being led by the Holy Spirit. My goodness. Some of us are picking up things here and there and everywhere and expecting them to work in the church. And God has not sanctioned those things to function, flow in his church. So God, my goodness, God says he wants to be in control in his own church. Amen. I was meeting with a group of pastors last Tuesday, and perhaps we'll meet again this Tuesday. And we're meeting because we're sharing with one another what we believe that God is saying to us in this season. And that's needful. Somebody say needful. The pastors that seem like they're hearing things that's maybe contrary to traditional church, if you will, need to know that they're not the only ones that's hearing that. That God is speaking to other pastors. Somebody say amen. And one of the things we all believe that the Lord is saying to us is this. If the church is going to be successful his way in the earth, when we got to be at a place where we hear the Holy Spirit, do what the Holy Spirit says, and let that be it. And sometimes God will tell us to do things that's specific to our local assembly, if you will. He might have Church A doing one thing, but Church B doing something else, but it all glorifies him. Amen. But if we're going to be the prevailing, successful body of Christ, my goodness, that God desires us to be in the earth realm, we got to be able to heal the Holy Ghost. We got to be able to hear the Holy Ghost when he wants to do something that's not regularly done in our worship experience. He just might want to heal today. And you keep your message in your pocket until next. The church is sick, man. The body is sick, woman. And the body ought to be able to go to the head of the body and receive healing and deliverance. But if God wants to do it in the church setting, if you will, we got to have leadership that will surrender to his will, even if you don't believe in healing. Amen. This is not in my script. Thank you. So that he can get his will done in his church. It's like judgment. My goodness. Judgment began in the household of the Lord. I want to fix some things in my house first, amen, before I go outside of my house. And it starts with leadership. And now I can see vividly how leadership will be at odds with one another. Because some leadership all over the world, university church, because some leadership will want to continue to do what we've always done, let's keep on doing it. And then some leadership will be saying, oh, this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that in itself will bring about a divide, amen. So among the mounting of religion, God, it says, as it relates to the Christian, my goodness, as it relates to the Christian church, he wants to be in control in his own house. Somebody say amen. Romans 8, chapter 29, this is not a part of my script. But God's whole reason for wanting to be in control of the church so that the church can look like his leader, Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the church. I said Christ is the head of the church. He's the head and we're the body. If you know anything about the head and the body, this head sends signals to this body, and this body carry out the signals that this head sends to it. That's good. God is saying he wants to send signals to his body, which means it might not be a prepared thing. Which means we might not have been able to get ready for the signal, amen. Every signal that I get from here, I'm not ready for. It means we might not be ready for the signal, but if we are in tune with the head, guess what? We will carry out the signal that he's sending to the body. So somebody say amen. See, this whole thing about Christianity is we should be saved. Somebody said be saved and be trained up to look like Jesus Christ in the earth realm. Amen. This whole thing about Christianity is we should, somebody say be should, we should be first born again or saved, or born again and saved. I don't know where your theology is on this. And then allow, my goodness, the Word and the Holy Spirit to raise us up to be, my God, to be like Jesus. Somebody said be like Jesus. As a matter of fact, the fivefold ministry giftings are gifts to the church to raise the church, to mature the church to be like Christ in the earth realm. Am I talking to the right house? And some of us are teaching everything but Christ in the church. Amen. How can we be like him if we can't see like him? Somebody say amen. Or if we can't see him. Somebody say amen. One thing Christ taught me about himself, just been a few years back, I had said this to you in a long time. He said to me as I read the gospel that everybody who encountered him, that had faith when they encountered him, the quality of their lives improved. Mom, some of us have been walking with the Lord for a long time, we say. But the quality of our lives remain the same. If we're really walking with Jesus, if we're really allowing the Holy, I promise you I didn't plan to be here. If we're really, really walking with Jesus, God is the head of my life. If he's really the head of our lives, our lives should be improving in some ways. Amen. I believe mainly morally. Mainly morally. One of the definitions for edify is to improve the morality of an individual. Amen. Morally. Somebody said morally. My God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of doing and his right standing with him, amen. His right way of doing. Somebody said doing. We major on the standing with him, but we don't talk a lot about the doing, amen, which equals holiness, glory to God. I promise you I didn't plan to be here this morning. To be holy is to look like our God. Somebody say amen. If we can look like our God the way he desires us to look like him, we can be light in the earth realm, amen. If we can look like him, we'll bring understanding to the world as it relates to what our God looks like. Somebody say amen. But if we're practicing religion and traditional things that have nothing to do with Christianity, we're going to continue to look like a powerless church. How come folks can't walk in here sick and leave out healed? How come folks can't walk in here in bondage and can't leave out delivered? Something is not quite right. God's whole desire for the Church of Jesus Christ is to grow the church up. My goodness, I hear that. To be like Christ. If we have to first start with believing, amen. We got to believe that we can be like Christ. And our belief should be built from the Scriptures, amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, which is to believe in Christ, he predestined to be conformed what? How? To the image of his Son. To be just like his Son, amen. You've read the Gospels, haven't you? Did you see some of the things that his Son did? Well, we ain't going to do those things. He said the same work Jesus said in his ministry, the same works that he did, we would do, and even greater works, amen. That's what he said, amen. So our belief systems must be intact by what he said if we're going to carry out what he said that we would do, amen. I want to be in control first in my church, amen. That's the first mountain I want to conquer, amen. My goodness, the second mountain is family. Do you not know, and look like I'm not going to get any further than this today. Do you not know that if Jesus was really in control of families in the earth realm, some of the things that happen in families from a relational or standpoint, if you will, probably wouldn't happen? And some of the households where we say, and everybody make mistakes, some of the households where we call ourselves big time Christians, a lot of households don't look that way. We're more judgmental in the world. We're more unforgiving than the world. My goodness, I said something there. We're more unforgiving than the world is, amen. We won't give nothing to the family. We're more selfish than the world is. We don't have a vision for our families. We don't have direction for our families. And if we are really in Christ, Christ will tell you by way of the Holy Spirit what he desires even for your little family, if you will. Amen. Mr. Sweetheart, I didn't know this was coming up. Please grace me. I have all these expectations of my wife right here. Right here in my own head. We hadn't discussed it, so now she can meet them or what. But I got all these expectations. And every time she don't live up to one of my expectations, I go silent. I don't get mad anymore. I just go silent. And I go silent until I want to come off silent, amen, and begin to talk again. So I have all these expectations in my head. She said, yeah, y'all heard it. Myra, I got all these expectations of my woman, my wife, in my head that she don't know anything about. And then when she missed my mark, I just stop cussing about it, amen. I just go silent about it, amen. Yesterday, in my quiet time with the Lord, the Lord revealed to me, and I'll give you a paraphrase. She ain't the problem. You're the problem. I'm just trying to help us today. And I didn't know I was going to say this. And she'll tell you, we had this long discussion after the Lord told me. She's not the problem, you're the problem. You're the one that got these expectations. And she don't even know what they are.
So how can she live up to them? And then your expectations change from time to time, amen. And then you didn't send her the memo about your expectations change. How in the world can she live up to your expectations? Amen. This is what I want you to do. No expectations, just love her unconditionally. This is what the Lord said to me. The women are hollering, yes, yes, yes. The men need to be saying, amen, let me try this because God showed it to our pastor. Somebody get some liberation up in here, amen. Mm. And I'm glad for her praise because I got a chance to hear something else. And it might be vice versa. Yeah, the wife might have some expectations of her husband that he don't know nothing about. My goodness. And when he missed your expectations, you raise hell with him. And he said to himself, What have I done? What have I done this time? Because I didn't even know you. I didn't even know you had this expectation. What are you expecting? What are you saying? What do you want from me? I've been trying. I just can't seem to please it because I don't know what you want. I made this pact with my wife. If you share with me your expectations, I'm going to say one or two things. Listen to me closely. Either I will, if I can mean I have the ability, will means will I. I will or I won't. And I'm going to express I will or I won't to you so that you won't be wondering whether I will or I won't. If this is your expectation of me, you share your expectation. I'll say to you, I'm going to work at that or do it. Or I'm going to say to you, I'm not going to do it. Not that I can't. I'm just not going to do it, amen. That is fair. I'm not going to do it, and then you just grace me and love me through it, and we can move on to something else. In premarital counseling, when we do premarital counseling, one of the lessons we go over is expectation in marriage, amen. Because the man sitting over there, he's thinking one thing, and the woman sitting over there, she's thinking something else. So we need to know what are you thinking by way of expectation, amen. So that we can say in the session whether we will or will not can or cannot, will or will not do these things, amen. And if they are deal breakers, you go your way, and we'll live happily ever after somewhere else with somebody else, amen. See, we can start hitting some of this stuff before we get into the marriage, amen. Because some things are deal breakers. My wife has said to me before, she had really known me. Don't laugh too fast. She said she probably wouldn't have married me at that point. She didn't say she wouldn't. Because I had some issues. And I'm learning I still got them. And some of my issues are expectations. Amen. She ain't my mama. Praise God. She ain't some other woman I knew. Praise God. She ain't some woman I see on the TV. Praise God. She's somebody I said I do to. I made vows to for better, for worse, for sickness and health, forsaking all others, as long as I should live. I hear a condition of love wrapped up in that. So, my God. when the Holy Spirit is just allowed in the Christian family, therefore the family will be better off, well off, if we were here and follow His instructions. So First Lady, I had a breakthrough yesterday. And then I finally learned, after we had this long discussion. Now, baby, what did you hear me say? I asked her, baby, what did you hear me say? She said, I heard you say, I need to work on this, work on this, work on this, and work on that. About four things, work on that. I said, baby, that's not what I said. I said, baby, I said to you that all these expectations I've had were my issues. And I need to work on my issues. On my issues. You don't need to work on nothing. You just need to be who you are, amen. And if she's spending time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit is talking to her, he'll tell her what she needs to be fixed, tweaked, adjusted, if you will. I know this one guy, he told his wife, when you want something done in my life, or when you want some change to come in my life, don't talk to me about it, because I might get halted. Tell the Lord, I talk to the Lord every morning, he talks to me, he'll tell me what I need to do, amen. Some of y'all women just need to talk to the Lord about your husband, especially if your husband got a relationship with the Lord. And as you talk to the Lord might tell you whether or not you are unreasonable in your expectations. I hear this scripture, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. But you got to acknowledge him first. Oh my goodness, I hear this too. Acknowledging don't mean you tell God what to do. It means you acknowledge him. When I got sin in my heart, not sin in my actions, but sin in my heart, I said, Lord, I acknowledge that I got sin in my heart. And when I acknowledge to him I got sin in my heart, it's here, it hadn't made it here yet. It's here in my thinking, it's not in my behavior yet. But when I acknowledge to him that I got it in my heart, I want him to cleanse me or cleanse my thinking before it make it to behavior, amen. So we need to acknowledge him. And he'll direct our path. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. He said that he'll show us things to come. I shouldn't have married you anyway, but you did. And you made vows. I ain't had a chance to do this yet. But I've said, I was going to tell some folks, especially people that I know I've counseled, and I keep notes, and I read back up on the notes. You said on August 16, 1999, that you can do this. And then you stood before me and the Lord and took some vows. You need to go back and keep your vows. Keep your promises. Now, I remember this one girl I counseled for her husband, and I didn't do the wedding. But I heard, and I could even go to the wedding for some reason, I heard that she said she wouldn't say for better and worse in the ceremony. She would only say for better, for better. For better, for better. From better, from one point to another point, better to better. So her vow was for better, for better. She stood before God and the preacher went on and married him, accepted the vow. So if they don't go from better to better, if she walk out of it, she won't be breaking her vow. The preacher shouldn't have, he probably should have took him away for some more counseling. He'll send them back to me, amen. Because every day, Jesus said in this life we're going to have some tribulations. But be of good cheer. He's overcome. We're overcomers. He said, as a matter of fact, he says we're greater than overcomers. He said we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Lord, you didn't tell me how we're going to get too far in this message. Seven mountains, religion, family, education. I believe that education is moving in some arenas, if you will, more toward God. God wants to be in control even in the educational arena, if you will. I mentioned government. Somebody said government. Arts and entertainment. Somebody say arts and entertainment. Media. Somebody say media. Now, y'all know. Media consisting of television programming, et cetera. Media, radio, music, music lyrics, all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of that stuff need more God in it. I just put it that way. I've gotten into this Netflix thing. Before I had a big smart TV hanging on my wall, I went into the Netflix thing. But now I got all this automation, if you will. I've gotten into Netflix. And I'll sit up and I'll watch all of these series. I'm watching one now. Probably don't need to be watching because their vocabulary is limited to the F word. I heard that through seven episodes. But I will say that some of those things don't impact me the way that they used to. And then I'll learn about what's going on in the world, too, when I watch some. Some preacher said a long time ago, how are you going to ever know what's going on in the world so that you can address it if you don't look at what's going on in the world? When I look at what's going on by way of media, even the news cycles, if you will, all of it need more God in it. And even some new, quote-unquote, Christian television need to listen to the Holy Spirit a little bit more. Need to listen to the Holy Spirit. So God said he even wants to be in control in media. Somebody say media. And the last one is economies. Economy. Somebody say economy. In government, they're fighting over whether or not folks should get a raise in, what they call that wage? Minimum wage. Here's the reality. Everybody don't have an education to be on Wall Street. Everybody don't have the education to be in the school system. Everybody don't have the education to be CEOs, et cetera, et cetera. Some folks cannot do, and I do say cannot do, at this time better than servitude type of industry, if you will. Some folks have families. Some folks need a little bit more to maintain their families than they'll get by way of minimum wage at this point. Some folks would do better if they had just a little bit more to do better with so that they could progress, advance to other stations in life, if you will. God is saying he even wants to be in the economy. See, if God is in the economy, things will be spread more fairly, if you will. I was going to say equally. That would have been wrong. Fairly. Somebody said fairly. I'm closing. I'm a supporter of one tax percentage for everybody. I'm a supporter of that. Everybody who can afford to pay taxes, I think the percentage ought to be the same, unless your income level is just so low. And can I tell you what I base that on? I base that on the tithe in the church. If we obey the tithing principle in the Bible, all of us are going to pay 10% or give 10% to the Lord. And by the mere fact that Erica makes more than me, she's going to give more because her 10% is greater. But she would have still given her 10%. But for teaching purpose only, by the mere fact, okay, I'll just use me again. By the mere fact that I make less than America, my tithe is going to be less, but I still give my percentage. And the church moves on with everyone's 10% plus offerings. What if the government did that? I think the government might be able to clear up some of this deficit, amen. Instead of giving all these loopholes for certain individuals, amen. I know I'm preaching good, but I can't get the ear of government to get that point across. Some folks, they say, ought to get breaks. And I'm just telling you what I think. Some folks ought to get breaks because they're job creators. I believe that the job that you create or the company that you've established, I believe this, we ought to give them some breaks. But I believe because you're a person in the United States of America, a working person in the United States of America, just like I am, I believe that the tax rate ought to be flat. For your company, yeah, you get a break because you created jobs. And that's going to increase your bottom line, which means you're going to get more money. Somebody say amen. But because you are a tax-paying citizen like me, I believe the flat rate ought to require you to. Does that make sense? If I was a politician up on the Hill, that's what I'd be screaming. And I probably wouldn't be on the Hill long. Somebody say amen. So, did I get on the new points? I did. Okay, I said number 12. I got to close on this because my time is up. God says that there is a set time or appointed time for every season, that is, a set time or appointed time under the sun that is in the earth realm. God said there's a set time or set season for everything under the sun, and in this season he wants to be in control. On all seven mountains. What does that mean? He got to elevate his folks to those mountains. He has to elevate his folks to those mountains. So that his will can be done through people. Luke 17:20, and I'm closing. Is that my third close? Real. New King James Translation. And I want to show you one of the places that the kingdom of God starts. And that's in people. God's system, God government, God rule, God reigns, starts in people as people submit their wills to his. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees, the religious folks, they were both political and religious. The Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered, he being Jesus, answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with what? Observation. You won't see it. You will see a manifestation of it, but you won't see it. Verse number 21. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is where? Somebody say within you. Say within me. Jesus is the king. Somebody say he's the king. The scriptures say that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the same. The Lord is the Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, the Lord is on the inside of you. The reigning king is right here. And if he's going to reign from here to here to here, we have to submit to his reign. If he could get his folks on the seven mountains and they submit to his reign, he will begin to have control in the earth realm like he desire. I'm just saying what the Lord is saying. But he got to first get his folks there. Now, his folks might not look like you think they look. They might not be the Ten Commandment toting, Bible thumping, legalistic folks that you think ought to be there, amen. They might be some compassionate folks. They might be some forgiving folks. That would be exemplary of Christ. Some people are looking at me like this. So God is saying he wants to be on every mountain. But in order for him to rule on every mountain, he has to get his folks on those mountains. Entertainment, family, media, religion, all seven of them. I didn't say all that I thought I was going to say this morning, but I hope something that the Lord said through me bless somebody. Somebody say amen. Let us pray. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Your will was done through us in this place today. Father God, I thank you that your word that flowed through us by way of the Holy Spirit impacts someone, one, in an inspirational way, and two, in a transformational way. I thank you, Lord, that your word inspired somebody, one, to move ahead, two, to do better. And two, I thank you that your word impacted someone thinking in a way until their thinking has transformed. And their transformed thinking will manifest in transformed behavior. Thank you, Lord, again for your liberating word. Your liberating word is truth that makes us free indeed. Lord, we honor you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We trust you in Jesus' name. And all who agree with that prayer said, amen. If you're listening to us today by way of teleconferencing, or if you're viewing us by any social media platform, and you know that you need Jesus as Savior of your life, here's your opportunity to just invite him in. Invite him in. You can pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. My Lord Jesus, be my Savior, be my Lord. And then you can offer him a prayer of thanksgiving for coming into your heart, for saving you, for forgiving you of your sins, for being your Savior and your Lord. Or either you can just say to the Lord, Lord, come into my life and make something out of it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you believe by faith, pray by faith, asking him by faith, believe he's come in. He'll begin a work in us, a Philippians 1:6 work that only he can do on the inside of us. And if you've received Jesus and you are looking for a Bible teaching church to become a part of, if you desire to be a part of this ministry, just type it in the comment section and one of our elders will see it and contact you. Also give them some contact information so that they can reach out to you. Amen. Number two, if you're viewing us by way of social media, listening to us by way of teleconferencing, and if you desire to give to this ministry, monetary donation, or sow seed into this ministry, there's about five avenues that you can use or five platforms that you can use to give. You can go to Give the Fly, look for Friendship CCM, the logo or my picture, click on it, follow the promptings, and give. Amen. You can do it by way of Cash App. So if I say Cash App, $, capital L, Friendship CCM. I want to make that a money sign to help me to say $. Somebody say amen. You can go to our webpage, www.friendshipccm.org. Click on the giving, what do you call that thing? The giving prompting, and follow those promptings, and you can give through PayPal. Somebody say amen. You can give by way of bank pay, that the same way that you pay your bills online, you can donate to this ministry online. And then you can mail any gift that you would like to give to this ministry by way of the United States Postal Service. Our address is 1238 Centerport Parkway. That's 1238, 1238 Centerport Parkway, Birmingham, Alabama, 35215. Somebody say amen. If you're listening to us and you have children that you want them to be ministered to on their level, on the child's level, our children's church commences at 11:30 a.m.
We do children's church right now by way of Zoom and Zoom only. Amen. The meeting ID is 832-3475-6582. Again, 832-3475-6582. One more time, 832-3475-6582. And the password is 680-632. 680-632. One more time, 680-632. We invite you to join us each Wednesday at 6:45 for Bible study. We do Bible study by way of Facebook Live and Zoom. Somebody say Zoom. Our meeting ID is 825-199-7060. Again, 825-199-7060. And our password is FCCM, all lowercase letters, 1238. Again, that's FCCM, all lowercase letters, 238. And every first Monday of the month, there's a word from the pastor's desk that airs at about 9 a.m. in the morning. We're probably going to look at that so that we can probably air later so that we can get people when they come or at home from work. Amen. So we'll see what the Lord has to say about that. But right now we do our first Monday word from the pastor's desk on Monday morning at about 9 o'clock a.m. Well, that's all I have to share with you today. Again, I hope that you've been blessed by this broadcast. And I hope to see everybody real soon. I see a hand. Yes. Oh, okay. I'm glad you all told me that she wanted prayer, because I wanted to say something, but I wasn't sure whether or not I could say something. Pat Doss is asking prayer for her husband, my brother-in-law, member of this church, Erica's uncle, Michael Doss. He's in the hospital. We believe by his stripes, Michael's healed. Michael is having challenges, health challenges at this point. And we will say serious health challenges. So we ask you to remember him in prayer. Be careful not to pray for his wholeness. Be careful not to pray for his wholeness. Pray that the Lord will heal him in every area in his body where he needs to be healed. Be careful not to pray for his wholeness, because wholeness might be on the other side. Oh my goodness. So he's been moved from a room to ICU, which means his health challenges it's not COVID related. He's been moved to ICU, which is intensive critical care. So let's keep him lifted up. I admonish you again not to pray for his wholeness. I prayed for the wholeness of a couple of folks and they woke up in heaven. So I've learned to just pray that the Lord will cure them, heal them. And if I know in what areas they need to be healed, I specify those areas. And I thank him that by the stripes of Jesus, that person is healed. Somebody say amen. So let's remember Michael. And I'm going to admonish you to remember Pat in prayer as well. Because everything that he's going, and the children, everything that he's going through, they're going through too. Just the entire family, and especially Pat, because she's there with him, needs strength to walk through this journey with him. So we lift her up. Lord, we thank you. We've already prayed for Michael. We just thank you about the stripes of Jesus. He's healed. Lord, we lift up to you Pat and the children, and we ask you. You said that I'm to ask you. So I ask you in Jesus' name that you would strengthen her right now, all day, and throughout this entire journey, so that she can be strengthened both physically and emotionally to walk through this journey with Michael. Lord, we honor you, we bless you, we trust you, we give you praise for all things in Jesus' name. And all will agree with that prayer saying, amen. Now, in this season, you know, we can't go to the hospital, which sometimes bugs me because I can't go and see my folks, touch my folks, lay hands on them, get a visual of them. But we'll just, and this might be what we need to do, we'll just count on God. Somebody say amen.
It's not, that's not a mic. That's what we need to do. We'll just count on God. Somebody say amen. Until next week, we pray God's blessings upon you, his favor upon you, his mercy, his peace, and for God's sake, his grace. Amen. Amen.